Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So my question to you,
yes,
is if today, if your money could talk,
oh,
what would it say?
Help! Get rid of help! Help! Help!
If my money could talk, what would it say? It would be like, bling.
Hold on to me.
Michelle, please stop shopping.
I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC. And today we've got our producer, Julia Longoria, here in the studio. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Charlie.
And you have been trying to find ways to get money to physically talk on the radio.
That's right. So, Charlie, read this thing out loud for us.
And what I have here is a summary of Julia's credit card statement. This is back from the winter. And let's see, January 9th, Murray's Bagel, $5.17. Then on January 10th, we have the Brooklyn Heights Wine Store, $15.33. Then on the 11th, Murray's Bagel for $12.38. I'm seeing a lot of bagels here and a little bit of wine.
Just keep going.
Okay. Barceloneta, South Beach, Miami, for $41.68. And then LaGuardia, USA in Jamaica, New York for $5.06.
Okay, LaGuardia, that was when I went home to Miami.
And then I see a charge here for Pasión del Cielo Dadel, Miami, Florida.
That's Dadeland in Miami, Florida. And that is actually the best coffee shop near my parents' house. And that was the day my old friend from kindergarten told me she's marrying this lovely dude she met in London. And this is what I've been trying to tell you, Charlie. Your money can talk. You read this stuff out loud and you realize that the money you spend is like this anthropological record.
Okay, I will buy that. Like, it can sort of help you remember where you've been and what you've done on any particular day. It's like a record.
Exactly. So, Charlie, what do you think your money would say?
I'd probably see a bunch of charges for SoulCycle and Cafe Colombe and maybe some other coffee shops.
That is exactly what I would have guessed. Caffeinated and on the go.
I guess it's kind of proving your point.
I think your money really says something about you. Like, at the very least, it opens your eyes to how weird you are. There's something kind of intimate about a credit card statement. And that's the reason when something pops up on there that you don't recognize, it's so eerie. Like, wait a second. Was I in New Jersey buying $200 worth of beers this weekend?
Yeah, like this summer, my credit card got compromised, I think, 3 times with charges coming from Brazil. And trust me, I was not in Brazil.
And this happens to so many people all around the world. But the funny thing is that the U.S. is the only place where this certain kind of fraud, counterfeit card fraud, is consistently growing.
What you're talking about is they make a fake card that has your number on it. Like what happened to me, someone got my number in Brazil, they printed up a card and they actually tried to swipe it and use it in a store somewhere in Sao Paulo.
Right. And there is a way to virtually obliterate even the possibility of fake card fraud. And it comes in the form of this super credit card with the shiny chip on the front.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of those in the mail.
Exactly. We are, as we speak, making a switch to the chip card.
But here's the thing. I remember being back in France in like 1990, 1992, and everybody had these cards.
Yeah, it turns out we are super behind the rest of the world, like 30 years behind some parts of Europe. So I set out to find out why. It's a story of kooky inventors, a corporate dance party, and even an existential crisis. But I want to start in Plainfield, New Jersey, at a credit card manufacturing plant called Valid USA.
That's a sound for you there.
Sounds of getting into the secure facility, secure area.
Salesman Brent Bowen and plant manager Fernando Aleman are walking me in through this grated floor-to-ceiling turnstile, kind of like what you have in the subway.
Because this is a secure facility, you are going to have to badge in wherever we badge in to track.
The security here is intense.
Goodness.
They track everyone who comes through here because the plant is a card counterfeiter's dream, because this is where credit cards are made. Before we get to the super fraud-fighting card, let's talk basics.
What is it? What's that smell?
What's that? That's a smell of lamination.
Bowen says, think of your credit card as a sandwich. For every color, there's a different layer, and then they're fused together, kind of like a tuna melt.
Because you have to have all the layers of the sandwich bond together, everything's done with heat and pressure, or a variety of the two.
Then there's that thin black line on the back of your card. It's what they call a mag stripe.
This is magnetic tape, almost like you would have in a tape deck or an 8-track cassette, if you can remember back that far.
That tape stores your information.
Since you were born in 1991, I'm pretty sure you don't remember what an 8-track tape is.
That means CDs and record players are more sophisticated than our credit cards. That's why the switch to chip is such a game changer.
It can be essentially a little computer. It's a little microprocessor with some memory.
Instead of swiping the magstripe, you're going to dip your chip card and hold it there. And while your card is inside the machine, the chip is going to create a unique code. It's different every time you dip it, and it's called a cryptogram. And it makes every purchase unique, like a snowflake. So making a copy of that little computer is extremely difficult. On the old magstripe cards, they have to stamp on all these fancy bells and whistles, like the signature panel, the hologram dove on the front. Some of them even have a picture of the card holder. It's all to try to make it hard to fake the cards. But those security measures are child's play compared to the chip. The chip is fused to the card as one extra step in the manufacturing process.
And then right at the end, we make sure that the chip is actually talking and working to say, hey, are you there?
That's the grand finale.
Okay, let me step in here for a second. They just stamp a chip onto a regular magstripe card and voila, a chip card? Why did it take us so long to make this happen?
Well, chip cards take much longer to make. It's 4 months versus the 1 month it takes for the old cards. And they're more expensive. The old cards average at about 10 or 20 cents, and chip cards are $1 to $2.
But theoretically, if you put the chip on, it will save the credit card companies and the banks money, and then they won't have to keep reissuing new cards because the fraud will presumably decrease.
That is very true. So I was still left with this question. Why are we still using vintage technology for payments, the equivalent of an 8-track, when virtually everyone else is playing MP3s? For the answer, everyone I asked basically said, call France. So I did.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. So can you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Well, I'm a genius.
This is Mark Lassus. He is an engineer.
I went to a PhD as well.
And his dissertation in solid-state physics landed him a gig.
I was hired by Motorola to manufacture chips.
At Motorola, he figured out how to get a chip onto the face of a plastic card. He had to work with the inventor, Roland Moreno, an Egyptian immigrant to France. Moreno died in 2012.
Well, you know, Moreno is a strange guy.
He was actually a freelance journalist who'd hang out interviewing people at companies like Motorola.
He was never dressed correctly, especially for important meetings. I come back to that.
He wore flip-flops and thick glasses and had wild, curly hair.
Looking for the world, this generation, having some marijuana, having fun. Oh, I forgot the name.
Are you thinking of hippies?
Hippies, yes.
But Moreno was sharp. In 1974, over 30 years ago, he became the first to write an airtight patent for what became the chip card. In the 80s, he and Lassus were out to solve one of the biggest problems France was facing at the time.
We were trying to make a very secure device, essentially to avoid fraud, okay?
Fraud. There really was a ridiculous, inordinate amount of fraud in France at this time. And the reason for that is the French phone lines kind of sucked. Now, phone lines are important to credit cards because when you use your credit card, the machine has to make a bunch of calls to make sure that you're legit. But in France, those calls were expensive, so French store owners would wait. They'd save each customer's information and make a single call at the end of the day to make sure everybody who bought something that day was legit. But that meant fraudsters using fake cards had plenty of time to run away with the loot. So the chip would be a security system offline. But getting a computer onto a plastic card wouldn't be easy.
On a credit card, it's very difficult because the credit card can bend.
And static from your pocket messes with a computer. Eventually, Lassus figured out how to solve all these problems. But to the rest of the world, the idea seemed really drastic. No one had as much fraud as France, so putting a computer on the face of a credit card was expensive, and it seemed like, well...
stupid idea coming from stupid French didn't look very serious.
But then, when France adopted it, fraud plummeted, and something else happened.
Of course, fraud likes to find a new home, and it went to the UK.
That's Oliver Manahan, Vice President of Emergent Payments at MasterCard. And he says fraud migrates to the weakest link. In this case, French fraud moved next door. That is, until the Brits decided they'd switch to the chip, and fraud trampling back to the rest of Europe. And then all of Europe adopts the chip card in the early 2000s, and
so then, of course, the fraud looks for the next weakest link, which, you know, became North America or some parts of Latin America or some parts of Asia Pacific. So
the stupid French idea becomes this universal antidote to fraud. They call it EMV, short for Europay, MasterCard, and Visa, the three companies that decided to make it the standard. All the major economies adopt it, except us.
You know, the U.S. market is frankly just the most complicated in the world.
First of all, we have way more stores than France does. Each store needs to buy new card readers. We also have way more banks and credit unions who issue credit cards.
So when you layer that complexity onto a change of this magnitude, it becomes one that everybody has to buy into, and it has to be at the right time for the right reasons, which we're now in the midst of.
But the engineer Lasses has other ideas about why it's taken so long.
NIH. You know what is NIH?
No.
Non-inventor here. I love Americans. I love the way they do business. However, sometimes they are a bit, you know, strange.
So, wait a second. Charlie, let me ask you something, because do you buy this? Like, do you really think it's arrogance that's gotten us to this point?
I bet it comes down to money, that the credit card companies and the banks are looking at, it's going to cost us this much money to send you a brand new credit card with a chip on it versus the amount of money that we are losing in fraud. So really the question is it worth it for us?
And we're answering yes, because we are finally adopting this French invention, and it's coming to a store near you.
Starting this afternoon, the Fraud Squad will take to the streets of New York to meet face-to-face with small merchants and spread the word about EMV.
I'm in a sleek white West Village warehouse, and yes, that is the music playing here. Consumer specialist Claudia Lombana calls out the Fraud Squad, a team of young, attractive people hired by American Express to go out in a truck to educate the world about the switch to chip. It's happening now. Credit card companies decided on a deadline, October 2015, this month. If stores don't update their machines to accept new chip cards, it's going to be on them to pay for fraud. Usually your banks would pay for it. But now stores, everyone from Target to your corner bodega, will have this new burden if they don't switch to chip.
After New York, they're going to be heading to Atlanta, Miami, and Houston, fanning out across small business hubs in each city.
That's where Amex comes in. They set up a team to go to small businesses around the country to tell them this is coming, and you need to buy new chip card machines.
Yeah, so we're just talking, have you seen these kinds of credit cards yet? These new chip cards that we're promoting called EMV.
Okay.
But yeah, so some of the merchants they talk to, and many of the merchants I talk to, have no idea what the heck a chip card is. Like this bodega manager, Abdul Ibrahim, in Brooklyn.
Do you know about this? Or?
No, nobody told us nothing about it. Yeah. This is the first thing I ever heard from you, so I'm going to look into it.
I tell him what's happening. If a customer comes into a store with a chip card, and Ibrahim doesn't have a new machine to accept it, that means he's going to swipe that card the way he's always done it, like it's a magstripe card. But if that card ends up being fraudulent, Ibrahim's going to be the one to pay for the fraud.
So that's going to be us then. It's just the small businesses.
All he has to do is buy the new machine for $200 or $300. But he doesn't want to spend that kind of money.
I don't think we might even want the new machine now.
This is a corner bodega. This guy has not experienced a lot of fraud in the past. And for him, it makes no sense to spend it. Surveys by industry experts showed about 70% of merchants in the U.S. don't know about the switch to EMV or don't plan to make it. But the thing is, they could become new targets. As we heard, fraudsters look for the weakest link.
And that's exactly what I used to do. I would go to stores with the lowest amount of security because the likelihood of being caught was the lowest.
Fraudsters like Dan DeFilippi.
So the same thing will happen here. You know, if a store keeps using magstripes even after, you know, chip and PIN are used, they'll be the ones that are targeted. people will still keep using this type of fraud for as long as possible.
He pled guilty to counterfeiting $250,000 worth of funds from Discover alone. And I found him through a simple Google search. Reformed fraudster.
Well, one of the things I always promised myself was that if I ever got caught, that would be it. I would be done. I would never touch it again.
Now DeFilippi gives talks, writes articles, and consults with companies on how to protect themselves against fraud. And he says EMV is going to make a big difference. The chip makes it virtually impossible to make a fake card. But here's the thing. The chip card is a solution to the kind of fraud France was experiencing nearly 30 years ago, back when Amazon was not a thing. Fraudsters have gotten a little more sophisticated since then.
There is a warning tonight for anyone who uses eBay. The online auction site says hackers broke into their database and stole encrypted information.
Millions of Americans checking their bank accounts after what could be the biggest cyber attack in American history.
Cyber attack on JP Morgan Chase. With a bank this big, it raises big questions about the safety of personal accounts and national security.
The chip is powerless against fraud online. So the industry is developing other security measures, things like tokenization and encryption. But talking to folks in the industry, it became clear the switch to chip is about something bigger than fraud. Like, the chip makes you question why you even need the card in the first place. In fact, when the chip was first imagined in 1974, the hippie inventor Roland Moreno didn't envision it on a plastic card. He put it on a ring, like the one you wear on your finger.
Actually, it's my ring. He stole one of my rings and put a chip on it. And I always wondered what happened to that ring.
That's Roland Moreno's ex-wife. I'd been trying to reach her for months, and she finally responded to me on Facebook. The first thing I noticed is she kept his last name.
Okay, well, my name is Stephanie Stolen Marino. As you can hear, I'm American, born in New York, and came to France to study, to do a master's degree in French literature, and basically never left. And I met Roland here in France, and we got married in 76.
It was 2 years before they got married that Moreno got the patent for the chip. She says he had this vision of a world without credit cards. Instead of a card, he'd put it on a ring.
His idea was just that it was going to be part of you, you know, and in a way, that is what's happened. Look, now you have the Apple Watch, you know, the iWatch. It's a very similar idea, isn't it?
It is very similar. You might know the Apple Watch lets you pay for stuff without a credit card, with Apple Pay. Well, inside that watch is a chip that's very similar to Moreno's. When stores finally get with the chip card program, it's kind of like a two-for-one. They're also starting to upgrade to the space-agey technology that lets you pay for stuff without a credit card.
Was it frustrating to him? Do you know that the U.S. hadn't adopted this?
Yes, of course. It was all frustrating for him because he loved the States so much. He really is your American self-made man, except he was French, so.
She says Moreno named his chip after the Woody Allen film, Take the Money and Run, TMR. The United States did not take the money and run, and Moreno spent much of his life trying to convince them to.
I think, you know, it's a big boat. You know, these banks are like, you know, it's like the Titanic. You push it and you push it and it's difficult to stop and go in a different direction.
We are finally turning this ship, slowly. Over 30 years after Moreno first talked to his wife about the vision for the chip, we are still trying to translate it across the Atlantic. Stores still don't know about the switch to chip. Banks are still sending out new credit cards. They don't have to send debit cards until next year. And we still haven't added secure PIN numbers to our chip cards the way they have in most places. We only require a signature. And fraudsters are moving faster than us, trying to find new ways to fake our chip cards. For WNYC, I'm Julia Longoria.
Julie Longoria is a producer here at Money Talking. So what's your experience been? Are you using the new chip or are you still swiping your card? Tell us your story. You can tweet us at Money Talking or send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. Thanks as always to our team, Julie Longoria, and our engineer this week, Bill Moss. Special thanks to Sean Bowditch, Matt Kilty, and Merritt Jacob. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.